I'm here with Gwen Gould, Sheila Silver, and on the phone, Stephen Katsakos. Are we all here together? Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you? Sheila?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Matthew.
Good. Get a little closer to the one. And Gwen.
Yes, I'm
yes,
here.
Yes, we're all here, and we're here to talk about something that is very, very special. And Sheila and Stephen and Gwen, I'm going to let you do most of the talking. There's an opera being created from the very wonderful book, A Thousand Splendid Suns. Was a bestseller, but I'm explain the book to our audience so that they're more familiar with it. It's a story of family, but a very special family, Afghans. So tell us about the book, the opera, what's happening, because this is wonderfully unique and a great honor for Hudson and the Hudson Area Library. So
I'll go first.
Okay.
Steve, feel free to jump in.
Sure.
Okay. So Stephen and I have been working on the opera for A Thousand Splendid Suns for 6 years, something enormous like that. And we are now in the stage where we're having our final workshops. And a workshop is basically just that. You know, people know that plays often go through workshops before they go on the main stage. Well, opera has to also, especially because you can imagine the forces that are required for an opera, all the singers and the orchestra, and that time is very costly, so it's best if you make all the changes you have to make before you ever get to that stage. So we're in that stage, and we're going to workshop all of Act 2 on November 18th and 19th.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the 18th in Hudson at the Hudson Area Library, and the 19th will be in New York.
Yes, and November 18th is my birthday, and I'm going to celebrate it by being there.
Wonderful.
Oh, great.
And so it's a very powerful story. Khaled Hosseini's, this was his second book. The Kite Runner was his first. It was a big hit, and so was A Thousand Splendid Suns. Kite Runner was about men, and this one is about women.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, you want to give a quick summary?
Sure. So if I sound like a babbling idiot, it's only because I really can't hear you, Sheila, that much. But I'll just do the best based on what I think I've heard. Khaled wrote The Kite Runner, which dealt with the experiences of boys and men in Kabul in the latter part of the 20th century. And then he followed up with A Thousand Splendid Suns. A Thousand Splendid Suns essentially deals with the relationship of two women, Mariam and Laila, who are married to one man. His name is Rashid. They have somewhat of a traditional Afghan marriage. Mariam is married to Rashid when she is 15 years old, against her will, and Laila is married to Rashid about 15 years later when she is 14 years old and he has picked her out of the rubble of her house, which has been bombed during the civil war that happened in the early 90s at the end of the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. The book basically deals with their relationship, but it's set among the politics and the confusion and the terror of living in a war-torn country. And our job was to find essentially the story, the essence of the story within the novel, and breaking it down so that the plot and the characters and the theme would be something that was understandable to an audience, that was told in a linear fashion, that it would be easy to understand in terms of its cultural perspective. And Sheila's job was to find a musical language to express it. The thing about opera is you need to figure out why do you want a story to sing? Because there are many stories that are wonderful to read on the page in a novel, or they're told well on stage in a play or even a musical theater. But opera is very special because it's the music and the language of music that really has to tell the story. And we're dealing in and more of an exotic culture, if you will, Afghanistan particularly, and Western audiences tend to see things through ethnocentric eyes. So Sheila applied for and received the Guggenheim, and she went to India and she studied the music of the Hindustani, which is Western India, and that is the language of Afghanistan music. And Sheila, perhaps you can jump in there and tell a little bit about your experience there.
We're going to have to wait for just a minute on that, because we have one of the idiosyncratic things about our studios. We have a location next to a train. So, Stephen, if you want to continue talking, or I can play some music.
So that's what that horn is. Okay.
Yes, that's what that horn is. It's our local train.
The Amtrak. Okay.
So tell us a little more. Tell us a little bit about your role in all of this.
My role as the librettist? Well, Sheila and I had collaborated twice before on other operas, two chamber operas, and essentially she wanted to write what she calls the big one, the full-length major opera, and find a major opera company to produce it, which, of course, we have now with the Seattle Opera. She had been listening to books, and I say that because Sheila has been a commuter. She can talk about this back and forth between Columbia County and Stony Brook for many years, and she was listening to many, many books on tape. She listened to this book, and then she read it, and she was absolutely moved by a number of things that happened in the plot, but particularly by these women. They were extremely strong female characters, and we don't have a lot of opera in the repertoire, certainly in the contemporary opera repertoire, that have two heroines in an opera. And she sent me the book to read, and I sat down, and I think I read it in two sittings, and I was blown away by the power of it, by Hosseini, by the simplicity and the complexity at the same time of this story. And I knew that the motivations of these particular characters, the story, and also the setting could be something that would be musicalized very, very powerfully. And also, I thought it was a story for our time. It deals with a culture that is part of our experience as Americans, certainly as post-9/11 Americans. It's a story about the empowerment of women. It's a story about oppression and repression. And I felt it needed to be told. So Sheila asked me to write the libretto, and after Mr. Hosseini agreed that we could do the adaptation, we sat down, Sheila and I, and we talked for a long time. We talked for months about finding, as I said, the opera. Two things that are really important. First of all, the characters wear the burqa. And when you wear a burqa and you're on stage, it's pretty difficult to distinguish which characters are which, because they're all the same. And the burqas that these women wear are the kind that cover them almost completely, with just a slight mesh over their eyes. And it was extremely important that we use this convention of showing the burqa. However, you only have to show it when the characters are outside the intimacy of their own home. So I had to try to find as much as I could to adapt that was indoors, and otherwise it would be very, very complicated. So the majority of the opera, the 2.5-hour opera, I would say that, 2 hours of that opera take place in indoor settings where the women only really wear the headscarf, the hijab, or some version of that. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that at some point, there's one particularly important point where we go from the interior to the exterior, and that really will be the first time that the audience experiences the anonymity, if you will, of the entire stage being filled with women wearing burqas, and that's sort of a powerful moment that we're envisioning on the stage. So that was one constraint, if you will. I don't think it was insurmountable, but certainly to do that. And the second one, it's a very, very violent book. It's extremely violent. And violence goes a long way. I mean, if you've ever watched Game of Thrones, You know that many people like me, if I'm watching it, I just fast forward because I just know, you know, they start fighting and then someone's going to die, you know, 3 minutes later. So, but in this book, it there's quite a bit of violence that's inflicted upon both of the wives by their husband, Rashid. And it was important to show it, but at the same time, it was important to do it judiciously. So we had to sort of figure out how to do that. So what we did was we worked on an outline, act by act and scene by scene, in a traditional linear narrative, if you will, so that we would have a good dramatic structure. And then we, you know, I went off. Sheila went to India, and I live in Key West. I'm actually not in Key West right now. I'm evacuated. I'm in New York City. I'm waiting to go back to Key West in about another 2 weeks. My house is still there.
Good. I'm glad to know that.
Stayed, yeah. And I stayed there, and I worked for about 6 to 7 months, and Sheila and I Skyped between Key West, Florida, and between Pune, India, where she lived. And when I shut up, she can talk a little bit about her experience there. And then I gave her a first draft, and the first draft was pretty much guided, what I would say, by condensation and concision, because in a novel you can write 5 words and transport an audience someplace, but when you're dealing with the performing arts and the medium of stagecraft, it's a little trickier to do that. So you have to really, really look for concision and condensation, especially in terms of plot figures. So I delivered my libretto, and Sheila began to compose. And maybe, Sheila, you can now talk about your process.
Yeah, I think the train has passed.
Yes, the train has passed, and I just want to remind our listeners, they're listening to WGXC, which is Hudson, Catskill, Acre. We're the voice of Green and Columbia counties, and we're here with Gwen Gould, Stephen Katsakos, and Sheila Silver, and we're talking about the creation of the opera based on the book A Thousand Splendid Sons. Stephen has written the words, Sheila is doing the music, and Gwen is producing.
So Steve said a couple of things that I wanted to follow up on. Steve, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
Okay. So he said it has to make sense why you would sing it. And I've always said that opera is larger than life. And, you know, when it's larger than life. And so that's why these opera singers open their mouths and this incredibly passionate music comes out. And I always felt that A Thousand Splendid Sons was a story that especially the two women are larger than life. And while there is a lot of violence in this story, I feel that it's the importance of it is that it's also, there's a lot of love. And both of these young women, well, the first one, Mariam, as a young woman, has been, well, she never really had a childhood and she never really had much love in her life. And she lost her mother, and that's why she's married off to Rashid. She's a harami, a bastard child, and her father doesn't want anything to do with this bastard child. And she's sent off to Kabul to be, because she's an embarrassment to the three legitimate wives. And she has faith that Allah will help her make a meaningful life, and she tries her best to make a meaningful life with Rashid, and she's unable to give him a son. She has several miscarriages. And but she never gives up hope for a meaningful life, and she's always asking Allah for courage. And at one point she asks Allah to give me someone to love. Just give me someone to love me. And then the second wife comes on the scene. And in the end, what happens is the second wife becomes like a daughter to her. So now she has someone to love and someone who loves her. And the second wife, Lila, Rashid is cruel, and he's violent when he gets violent, and it's war-torn times. You know, I think in the beginning, he, you know, had Mariam given him a son, he might not have been so cruel had he not lost his cobbling shop. He's a shoemaker. He lost his shop. He lost his money. He has nothing. And this is what happens when you suffer in wartime. But he gets meaner and meaner and meaner. And in the end, when he is... I'm going to tell the ending here because it's pretty dramatic. In the end, when he is choking Lila to death, Mariam takes a shovel and hits him over the head and kills him. And she kills him very deliberately because she knows that if she doesn't kill him completely, that he will then kill both of them. And this would be okay. And this, he'd get away with it. So this would be, so it's self-defense, but it's also that she sacrificed herself for her daughter and her grandchildren. And she says to Lila, you must escape now, and I'm going to stay here and take the responsibility. And there's an incredible act of conscious, she got to choose. She's not a victim. She's choosing to take this action. And that's what makes her a hero. And Lila, who's always been kind of the leader of the two, the more strong of the two, suddenly understands that Mariam is at her strength and that in order for the death of Rashid to make sense, she's got to escape with her true love, who has actually come back on the scene. So it's a story of women taking control of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with these two women. I thought they were just amazing, and I wanted to tell their story. And that's why I wanted to write an opera about this.
So what, just so our listeners know, what will people be seeing on the 18th of
Good
November
question.
At the Hudson Library, Hudson Area Library?
Well, we have a number of events leading up to this. The performance will be on Saturday, November 18th. We'll have two performances of Act Two at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock that day. But leading up to it, we will have a number of events, a conversation with between Stephen and Sheila about the process of making a novel into an opera. We will have a reading by the book club of the library, and they will discuss the novel. And then we'll have a film screening of Act One of the workshop that was done prior to this on November 9th. So those events will precede this, and we're so pleased and honored to be able to do this in the Hudson Area Library in our new facility, which is the restored armory, and the community room, which is where this will be, is a wonderful space. It's warm and intimate, and I think will be the setting for a very powerful performance.
And I will add to that what you're going to see is Act Two, because that's what we're workshopping now. We workshopped Act One a couple of years ago. We've done two workshops of that, and now one. This is the last workshop. And so that's why we're having this. We have a film of the Act One that we shot from the first workshop, so that's why we're going to show that first for anybody who's interested. And a workshop means we come together for a very, very intense 10 days where we rehearse our six singers, and we bring in I have what I call a band. Usually workshops are done with one or two pianos and voices. I didn't feel that I could give a feeling of what I'm doing with just those instruments. So I decided I had to have a little band. And Stephen mentioned that I went to India to study Hindustani music. I felt when I started this project I needed to go further than my Eastern European Jewish American roots. I needed to go all the way east. And the music of all that part of the world, Afghanistan, North India, Pakistan, it's all what they call Hindustani music.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another story for another interview, but I found a guru, a teacher in India, and I went and studied with him for 6 months. I took my whole family, my son and my husband, and we had the experience of a lifetime. And now
I can imagine.
Yes. And then I continue. I'm in touch with my teacher, and we for a long time we had Skype lessons. I've had several trips back, just me without my son and husband. And so I am incorporating some sounds of Hindustani music, some of the color into my orchestral score. And so when I came time for the workshop, I said, look, I got to have some strings because strings slide and Hindustani music is all about sliding. Mm-hmm. And the orchestra that we're going to hear at the workshop is going to have a violin, a viola, and a cello. It's going to have a piano. It's going to have a bansuri, which is a bamboo flute. And it's going to have tablas, which are Indian drums. And it's going to have a trombone played by a jazz player because they really have that kind of whiny, nasal, sliding quality. So it's a little bit exotic. So we're going to have a little mini orchestra with us. It's not going to be just pianos. And that helps a lot. And so that's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear this small ensemble with five grown-up singers, and we hope to find one child. We're still trying to cast a child to play the three-year-old boy that is Lila's son. And that's what we're going to hear.
Matthew or Sheila, do we have time to play, for instance, Mariam's aria from Act 1, Scene 3? Is that okay?
Yeah, we have a couple of excerpts that we're going to play. Yeah. But have to do it at the end.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to, because due to technical constraints, I will have to disconnect you, not hang up on you, but switch from the phone to the computer. So.
Oh, okay, because I think, Sheila, you wanted me to read some of the words libretto first, correct?
Right, that's right. So I thought what I would do is first play them the very opening of the orchestral reading so that they get the sound world of Afghanistan. And it's only 2 minutes, and we were lucky enough to have we were selected to be featured in 2016's New Works Forum, which is an Opera America event. It's a conference in New York. And they gave us a full orchestra and said we could do 25 minutes of excerpts. And this is a recording of that. And so first I'm just going to play you. Remember I told you that there was a bansuri, and this is just the opening. So the opening of the opera, I said to myself, we have to say in the opening, we're not in the United States. You know, we are somewhere else. And it's not that the Hindustani music is real Hindustani music. This is Western music I'm writing, but it's got a color. And so the first 2 minutes is the color. And then after that, I'm going to play for you. I thought I'd play Lila's aria next because I love that aria and she sings it so beautifully. And you could read the words for that. And then I'm going to play, then we can do one more if we have time.
Okay, I think we do.
Okay, so then we can tell them about Mariam's aria.
Right, and I also just want to say that all these events are free and open to the public. Gwen is nodding.
Yes, I'm nodding. We're so pleased to be able to do this at the Hudson Area Library.
And Steve's first talk is next week, right? It's
yes, on September 28th. That's Thursday at 6 p.m. at the library, which is at 51 South or North 5th Street in Hudson.
That's the talk about turning a novel into a
corner
libretto.
Of 5th and State.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to just unhook you, Stephen, for a moment, but stay there, and then we're going to plug in, and we are going to hear a little bit of music.
Okay, so this is just the opening. This is with full orchestra, not our band. This is full orchestra, just the opening bansuri solo with full orchestra.
Okay, let's...
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That is haunting.
That, and I have to also say that on Bonsuri is Steve Gorn, who is Hudson Valley's own Bonsuri player. I mean, he plays all over the country and all over the world, but he happens to live in Hudson Valley.
What did we just listen to?
We just heard the opening. I wouldn't call it an overture because it's just really the opening. Actually, it was the beginning of the whole opera, and at the beginning of the opera, Mariam, who's a 15-year-old girl, is arguing with her mother, as 15-year-old girls are bound to do. Stephen, why don't you read the words to Lila's aria, and then we'll try to play that. How's that sound?
Okay. The words to Lila's aria, and then we'll play that.
Right. Okay, so this happens in Act 1. About two-thirds of the way through, Lila has been in love with a boy named Tarek for many years. She's 14 years old, and she's just in the sort of throes of understanding a little bit about what's going on with her body, what's going on with her feelings. Tarek is a boy who is maybe a year or two older than her, and he has a prosthetic leg because it was blown off by a mine when he was a young man. And she is standing on the porch of her home, and she sings this, and these are the words, right? Tarek, Tarek, it's always you. Tarek, it's always you, dancing, dancing, dancing in my mind. You make me laugh and cry as I rock myself to sleep. You take me from my waking thoughts and bring me to my dreams. Tarek, it's always you. It's always you dancing in my mind. I want to feel your fuzzy lip tickling mine, to feel you kiss my neck, my back, my breasts, my belly, and lower still. How can you be like a brother when I want to know you as another, as my lover, as my husband, forever? Tarek, it's always you dancing, dancing, dancing in my mind. There you go.
That's really powerful. And we're going to play the music. Stephen, stay there. I have to disconnect you, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay. Okay.
And this is WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill. We are the voice of Columbia and Greene County. It is now 9:58 in the morning, and we're going to be playing some of the music from A Thousand Splendid Suns, an opera that's going to have a workshop production at the Hudson Area Library on November 18th with performances at 1 and 4 p.m.
So
Okay, so we're back again, we are also, we're here with Gwen Gould, Sheila Silver, and Stephen Katsakos, and we've been talking about, this is Matthew Tombers, this is WGXE's Wednesday morning show, the morning show, the Wednesday version with me, Matthew Tombers, and we've been talking about the opera that is being workshopped at the Hudson Area Library on November 18th at 1 and 4 p.m., A Thousand Splendid Suns. If that's not a beautiful title, I've never heard one. Anyway, there's some events coming up, and those events are?
The next event, which will be a chance for you to speak in person and hear in person Stephen Katsakos and Sheila Silver discuss the process that they went through to turn the novel into an opera. And that will be Thursday, September 28th at 6 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Following that, on November 8th, the book group of the library will be discussing the novel. You're welcome to join that. Thursday, November 9th at 6 p.m. will be a film screening of Act One of the opera, filmed by John Feldman, who happens to be Sheila's husband. He's a wonderful filmmaker. Then, finally, Saturday, November 18th, the performances at 1 and 4. We hope you all come.
At the Hudson Area Library at the corner of State and 5th.
And tickets, you need to make a reservation.
Yes, for the workshop performance on November 18th, you need to make a reservation. And if you go to the website, the library website, you can click on a link which will take you to an Eventbrite page where you can make a reservation.
Tickets
it
are
is free of charge.
Free of charge, yeah. Tickets are free, but we recommend highly that you make a reservation because it's going to get crowded.
This is a great event for Hudson.
And I also want to say that our singers are spectacular. Several of them have sung at the Met. They have sung in opera houses all over the world. And we have Maya Layani singing Mariam. We have Lucy Fitzgibbons singing Lila. And Ian McEwan is singing Tariq. And Ron Lloyd is singing Rashid. And on Bansuri, we have, as I mentioned, Steve Gorn, who is actually from the Hudson Valley. And tablas is Jonathan Singer. So we have really quite an amazing group of musicians here.
Okay. The question that I always ask, which will answer shortly,
here comes the train.
The next train. So we're going to go to a little moment here of West Side Baby with Dinah Washington.
He's from way, way across the town. bell. Well, he's kind of tall and lanky. He always dresses in style. He very seldom says much. Just wears that lovely smile.
Matthew?
Yes, he's my West Side baby. From way, way across the town.
And now we're back. And we're going to wrap up with Gwen and Stephen and Sheila. The question I always ask at the end of every session is, what should I have asked you that I wasn't smart enough to have asked you?
Steve, you want to answer that?
Sheila, you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Well, Matthew said something really intriguing right before we heard the whistle of the train, which was quite a beautiful title. And maybe I could just briefly explain why it's called A Thousand Splendid Suns.
It's a wonderful story. I read it yesterday.
Yeah, so it's based on a poem by Tabrizi, and in a way, the novel itself is really a love poem in general about Kabul. It's sort of honoring the city of Kabul itself, and there is a section of this one of the Tabrizi poems which goes like this: Every street of Kabul is enthralling to the eye. Through the bazaars, caravans of Egypt pass. One could not count the moons that shimmer on the roofs or count the thousand splendid suns that hide behind her doors. And this, I believe, was the inspiration for the title. So,
and I would add that we, when Lila's father, Hakim, they're going to flee to Pakistan because of the war, he sings, you know, he's packing his bags, he's packing his books. Her father is a scholar, and he's very sad to be leaving Kabul, and he sings at that moment that we have an aria for him when he sings that.
Wonderful. Anything else, Gwen?
No, we just hope you'll come and enjoy this and meet Sheila and all of these wonderful participants. We're honored to be able to present this at the library.
Yes, and I am very impressed that this will be at the library. It is a wonderful thing. Do you know when the premiere will be?
Yes, Seattle Opera has picked this up, and they are planning a premiere in spring 2020. That's the lead time on these things. So.
Yes.
So it's a long time yet, but I haven't orchestrated. It's not done. I mean, this is, you know, we finished the workshop, and then for the next year and a half, I orchestrate.
Okay. Wonderful. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us by phone. And Sheila
thank you,
and Gwen in person. We're going to go now to the news.